Welcome to Word of Hope Ministries. Bible teacher Perry Stelter has been in ministry for over 10 years with Indigenous and non-Indigenous people seeking biblical reconciliation. His passion is making the Bible come alive. As Perry's wife, I, Angie, have seen God set the direction for this ministry since day one. Romans 15:13 says, "May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit." Now here's Bible teacher Perry Stelter.
Hello everyone, hope you're having a wonderful day today. Let's go to the Lord in prayer before we begin our message today. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the listeners. I thank you for your faithfulness to us, no matter what is going on in our lives. I pray that we would be aware of what you're trying to do in our lives in the midst of the ups and downs that we experience. And so I pray that you would help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Today, my brothers and sisters, we're going to be talking about wisdom, but we're not going to be talking about just some ordinary wisdom. I know in my life, when I think of making a wise decision, I'll often speak to people that have more experience in a certain area than I do, or somebody who has more life experience than I do. And so oftentimes, I appreciate talking to people older than me who can help me navigate some difficult decisions that I may have to make at any given time. And so it's good to know that our Heavenly Father, and through the person of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit, is there to give us the best wisdom possible in His Word. Today we're going to start a two-part series, 1 to 13 today. And when we take a look at Ephesians as a whole, we see that it's written by the Apostle Paul. We see that he's writing from prison. We see that it's written around AD 60 to 62. And the recipients are a wide variety of different churches. It's meant to be circulated amongst all the different churches that were known at the time. It was also meant to be read here for the Ephesians. And the main topic that's being talked about today in this passage is the mystery of the church being revealed to the Gentiles. When we speak of the Gentiles in the Bible, the Gentiles are not one specific group like the Indigenous people of Canada or the Asian people or within the Asian people, the Chinese people. The Gentiles are anyone that isn't Jewish, which means all the different nations of the world. The reason why the nations are described in this way is because the Jewish people are God's chosen people, and the Jewish people, with all the law of Moses and the tabernacle that was established in the wilderness wanderings. And so the history of the Old Testament is based on God's covenant with the Jewish people. And then after Jesus died on the cross, and we see people like the Apostle Paul coming on the scene after Jesus had died on the cross, rose again, and then ascended back to heaven, we see the church being established. And so the Apostle Paul has some magnificent news to proclaim to this new church and to all the leaders of the universal church as a whole.
I'm finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay. The last thing I need is to be heard, but to hear what you would say. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. I'm finding myself in the midst of you, beyond the music, beyond the noise. And all that I need is to be with you, and in the quiet hear your voice. And word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain? you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. Word of God, speak. Would you pour down like rain, washing my eyes to see your majesty, to be still and know that you're in this place. Please let me stay and rest in your holiness. The word of God's being. The word of God's being. Yeah. The word of God's being. Yeah. Finding myself at a loss for words, and the funny thing is, it's okay.
When we take a look at Ephesus, we see that the gospel was brought to Ephesus by Priscilla and Aquila, who were left there by Paul on his second missionary journey. We see that Paul established a church there on his third missionary journey. We see after Paul pastored the church there for 3 years, Timothy took over pastoring for at least a year. And part of what he did was refute a lot of false teachers. And so we see that Paul and Timothy had a strong relationship. Timothy, as a co-writer, is mentioned in several other pieces of Paul's writing. We see that Timothy's relationship to Paul was very strong. Biblical history says that Timothy's name appears as a co-author with Paul in 2 Corinthians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians, and Philemon. Paul wrote, "I have no one like him." So it doesn't surprise me that Paul left the church in Ephesus to Timothy to take over. And there was much wisdom in that decision that was based on a strong relationship. And so the same can be said about this wisdom that we're going to be talking about today. This manifold wisdom of God. It's based on wisdom that comes directly from God. And it's based on God the Father with God the Son and the Holy Spirit all working together. And they have always existed. They weren't created like we were created. They have always been and always will be. This is where this spiritual knowledge is coming from that we're learning today. Although Paul wrote so much in the New Testament, he always saw himself as the least of the apostles and the least of the Lord's people. And so when I think of that, I think that he was really the best person for the job to talk about this message of grace, because he was a picture of grace himself. He used to persecute the church, and who used to oversee the killing of Christians was now a leader in the church. But he had an encounter with Jesus Christ directly on the road to Damascus, and so he had a personal experience that transformed his life. And so he instantly experienced this transformation. And so this is the background of Ephesians as a whole, and this is what's going on as we're talking about these verses here today. Ephesians as a whole, the best way to describe Ephesians, aside from it being a circular letter that was passed around from church to church, and aside from the fact that Paul was the one who wrote it, was that Ephesians is divided in two sections. The first half of Ephesians is where Paul gives theological information to the people in this letter. And the second half of Ephesians is where he talks about the application of all that theological knowledge and information.
If faith can move the mountains, then let the mountains move. We come with expectation. We're waiting here for you.
And it's you we adore. Singing
And so let's start reading it from verse 1 of chapter 3. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles. While Paul's persecution meant the gospel was being advanced, and it was being advanced specifically on behalf of the Gentiles. The Gentiles being anyone who wasn't Jewish. At the time this was written, the idea was a big deal because of the religious elevation that the Jewish people were on compared to those that weren't Jewish. It was at a time in history where the manifold wisdom of God that we're about to talk about has already been set in motion. And we see that Paul was the first person to be introduced to this manifold wisdom, as we'll soon find out. And it was based on his relationship with God the Father and Jesus Christ. Ephesians 3:2-3. Surely you have heard about the administration of God's grace that was given to me for you. That is, the mystery made known to me by revelation, as I have already written briefly. And so we see here that Paul uses the word administration because he is using it as an official term to refer to this mission, this ministry that he has been given. It's an official lifestyle, it's an official commitment, and it's an official responsibility for him, and he wants every other believer to fall in his footsteps. And so when we see the word mystery here, the experts say that according to the original language, that the word mystery meant that it was something that could only be made known by God. Amen? Amen. And the clearest way that this mystery was made known was through the work of Jesus Christ. Verses 4 to 5. In reading this, then, you will be able to understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which was not made known to people in other generations, as it has now been revealed by the Spirit to God's holy apostles and prophets. And so this mystery through the person of Jesus Christ that is being talked about here, related to the manifold wisdom of God, was that now this gospel message, this plan of salvation, was for all people. It wasn't just for the Jewish people. The Jewish people were used to being the center of attention, you could say. And Paul received this information directly from God. It wasn't from any of the other apostles or disciples. It was directly from God. And then Paul passed it on to everybody else. And this is how it started. Verse 6. This mystery is that through the gospel, the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel, members together of one body, and shares together in the promise in Christ Jesus. It says here that the Gentiles are heirs together with Israel. And so there's still a reference to Israel being significant. But I love this part of the passage because Paul literally tells us what this mystery is. All the non-Jewish people and Jewish people are now one in Christ. And this is how the church is supposed to look. This is what the church is supposed to consist of.
Song of all songs is a song we sing. Sound of all sounds, heaven's symphony. All
so a quick summary of what's going on in this passage so far is that Paul is taking us, without using the exact wording, but indirectly, he is taking us from the Old Testament, and then he's moving us towards the New Testament with regards to Jesus Christ dying on the cross and this ministry that Paul had started. And then he's pointing to the establishment of the church. But then there's also a mention of sufferings and glory going on as well. And all this is moving towards the fact, and we're going to talk about this more in part two, but how God does his greatest work in church. Every believer should have a home church. This is where God does his greatest work. And it's supposed to include all nations. And so this is the historical context of what was going on here when this was written. Today, it's not an issue about Jews and Gentiles, you know, comparing the two. Now we have other new issues about people getting along in the church and unity. But this is what was going on when Paul wrote it. Verse 7 says, I became a servant of this gospel by the gift of God's grace, given me through the working of his power. Here we see that Paul sees himself as a servant of the gospel by God's grace. He's a servant of the gospel, but this servanthood is by God's grace. And then this grace is shown as he works with the Gentiles, even if it means he's in prison. This servanthood is powered by the force of God's grace. Amen. Whatever specific ministry God has called you to within the church, it needs to be a work of grace. Another fact in history about servanthood is that servants lived and worked in the service of that household. And so we can logically see then that part of this servanthood that Paul's referring to is that we live and work in the service of Christ and the church. And this, my friends, is a lifestyle. It's not just something that you do on Sundays or if you make a trip to the church during the week. It's an official lifestyle that you live out at home and no matter where you are. The best way that I can say to deal with this challenge of being a servant of God is to wake up in the morning and saying, God, I'm your servant. I'm a servant of yours, God. What do you have for me to do today? As we are living our lives as believers, as we are working in the church, as we are looking for ways to reach out to people in our community, we need to wake up in the morning and say, I am a servant of yours, God. Because God wants his believers, his people in the church to be vessels of God's grace to the world. And the church is supposed to be the main place that this happens. Verses 8 to 9. Although I am less than the least of all the Lord's people, this grace was given me to preach to the Gentiles the boundless riches of Christ, and to make plain to everyone the administration of this mystery, which for ages past was kept hidden in God who created all things. So the boundless riches of Christ is what is revealed when the preaching of the gospel takes place, when someone explains and teaches the word of God. I find it's interesting how using the phrase least of the Lord's people leads straight to the phrase the boundless riches of Christ, because that's how God's grace works. You see, we have a picture of grace here that is really should be explained in two ways. There's the grace we're talking about when anyone is saved. They're saved by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. But this manifold wisdom that is being explained here today as an act of grace is talking about how all non-Jewish people are included in this plan, part of the church. And so that's how grace is being used in this context. We all come to Christ with nothing, and so we can in turn learn to be overwhelmed by the riches of Jesus Christ that are talked about throughout the entire Word of God. And so this same God who created all things will in turn give us all things with regards to what we need to make this happen. Verses 10 to 11, his intent was that now through the church, the manifold wisdom of God should be made known to the rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms, according to his eternal purpose that he accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so here we see all believers are on equal footing through the unity of the church as a display of power to all the forces in the heavenly realms. And so all the evil forces and authorities in the heavenly realms are forced to see how God's grace works. This is another aspect of how this power works and how powerful it is. Satan and his demons are forced to see and witness God's kingdom becoming successful. Amen. And so I want to encourage you that your life has a specific purpose. Aside from your purpose within your family or within your community, with what you do for a vocation or volunteer work or anything else, your main purpose as a believer is to be an expression of this manifold wisdom of God as you are involved in the local church. The last two verses, in him and through faith in him, we may approach God with freedom and confidence. I ask you therefore not to be discouraged because of my sufferings for you, which are your glory. And so as we are moving forward as believers, we are to do it with a freedom and confidence that only comes from God. And the way that works is we develop a freedom and confidence in the way we approach God, in the way we talk to God, and then in turn we develop more of a freedom and confidence as we interact with those around us. For those of you that are seniors or elders, I believe you have the most to share with the world around us because of the wisdom of your age. And you've had more life experience, and when you combine that with having this manifold wisdom of God as a believer, you have the most impact in your community and in your church. As many of you know, I'm from an Indigenous background, and in the Indigenous community, becoming a senior and an elder is seen as a good thing because you are seen as a more wise person. And elders are respected very much so in our communities. You can have the most impact. And so I want to encourage you to reflect on this week, how you can embrace this manifold wisdom of God, that the gospel is intended for all nations and that all people need to hear it. And so let me close with a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you in Jesus' name for the listeners. I thank you for your word. I pray that you would convict us of any sin that we need to be convicted of, but also encourage us where we need encouragement. And you do this in the most effective way through your word. And so I pray that you would help us with all of this that we talked about here today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for listening to Word of Hope Ministries with Bible teacher Perry Stelter. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn his face towards you and give you peace. For more information, go to wordofhopeministries.ca.